item number five on the agenda. This is a decision. Land transactions, briefing, public hearing, and decision. So Julie, I'll turn it over to you.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners, members of the public, the Director, and Deputy. My name is Julie Sandberg. I am the Real Estate Services Manager for the agency. I have four transactions to present for you today. And as usual, before we enter the discussion of transaction, I like to walk through the process steps that the agency goes through when making a decision whether to acquire a property or not. Last meeting, we went through 12 Lands 2020 projects that the agency had reviewed, gone out to public comment, and discussed put forward for public funding pursuit. When we start our entire process, we look at agency planning documents, strategic plans, conservation initiative. We look at the species plans, and all those drive the decision by a region to put forward a property for Lands 2020. That's an additional evaluation that it goes through to determine why we might be the appropriate landowner for that property. Once it goes through the Lands 2020 process and has been approved, we search for federal or state grant funding. If the funding arrives, we hit the ground and we start through our other process to eventually culminate in bringing a project to the commission. Our land transaction stages begin with an appraisal of the property. Our federal and state grant funders, as well as statute, require us to conduct an appraisal and a review appraisal of the properties before making an offer. Once we've confirmed with the landowner they're interested, we start negotiations and hopefully sign a purchase and sale agreement with them. At that point, we're able to come before the commission with the proposals. That brings us to our first transaction of the four today. I want to thank the Reardon FFA folks for a tremendous opportunity to present and practice their presentations and for giving most of my presentation. I'll try to keep it short today. I don't think we can keep talking too much about the property. And I can see somebody moved the slide, and when you move the slide, the dot moves. So hopefully the folks noticed that Reardon moved a little bit here. The property is actually 20 miles west of here, just inside the Lincoln County line, in just outside the city limits of the town of Reardon. 150 acres is what we're proposing to acquire with a Recreation and Conservation Office WWRP grant. That's a mouthful. As has been mentioned, we acquired the property that's in pink on the left, outlined in purple, in 2006 from the Inland Northwest Land Trust at the time. They have been a tremendous partner throughout this endeavor, being able to step up and work with a landowner that might get a little squirrely and decide to sell property before we can get through our funding process. This skylight, Tammy, for future presentations probably needs to be, I hate to do that with the sun, but it's kind of a distraction. So our 150 acres that we're proposing to buy was going to be sold by the landowner while we were in the process of getting the grant funding, and the land trust stepped up and was able to bridge it and make that acquisition and hold it for us until we could get the funding. There are a tremendous number of partners here. As you've heard, this property is spitting distance from the town of Reardon. It makes it very accessible off the highway. It's a great place. No accidents here.
No, I mean. We got to do it all.
Hey, somebody's got a gun back there that might hook it down. Thank you. All right.
Just hold it.
All
right,
we've also talked about the unique geology of the area, which makes it a great destination for scientists as well as the public. Our partner, Spokane Audubon Society, brings frequent tours out there to look at the property. There are over 80 potholes on this property. What makes it so special? That high water table. Again, our partners, Ducks Unlimited, the Ice Age Floods Institute, brings out scientists from Eastern Washington University. The appraised value for the property is $150,000. We predict that our annual operation and maintenance will be about $1,950 per year. and the PILT payment to Lincoln County, about $200 per year for this property. The uniqueness of it has been stated. You hear a lot about the birds, but there are also mammals present on the property and amphibians due to the riparian nature of it. The unique habitat caused by these, some permanent pools, some temporary pools, but in this part of the world to have this kind of water year-round is very unusual. With less than 12 inches of precipitation to support the bird habitats is pretty unusual. Also, to see the migratory shorebirds because of the grass vegetation that is maintained on these waterways, the waterfowl. What can I say? It's all about the birds. Before I move to the next presentation, I'd like to ask our region director and solar connector, Steve Pazangra, to join me.
The bright light.
Thank you, Julie. I just asked for a quick opportunity here to mention not only make sure that I reiterate the excellent partnership that we have had with the Inland Northwest Land Conservancy, not just on this project, but our history of working with that organization, and very much looking forward to a continued partnership. But one of the things that I wanted to make sure I called out was a Herculean effort from the Conservancy on cleanup of the site. And so when they purchased the property, they conducted a phase one environmental assessment. And what they learned was that while the site had no hazardous waste, the site did in fact have a lot of non-hazardous debris. Well, what does a lot mean? A lot means that over the course of several work parties, INLC staff and 26 volunteers put in 135 hours over two work parties and removed 19 tons of metal that went toward recycling. And this is the drop the mic moment. 100 tons of waste from the site that went to the Lincoln County Transfer Station. So I would be remiss if I did not point out this effort by the Conservancy and just acknowledge how much we appreciate that effort, because that would have come at a cost to the department.
Was that because it was a dump site that people just dumped stuff there?
Based on the type of material, I think it had been a de facto site for a number of years. Wood, concrete, metal, an abandoned 1960s Ford car, those types of things. That's all. Thank you.
The next acquisition that we have is in Kittitas County, known as the Tianaway property. This is a 215-acre property that we'll be purchasing from the Trust for Public Land. Again, another partner that helped step in and bridge the acquisition of property while we were getting our funding pulled together. Also, Kittitas County has been a strong partner in this project. The appraised property value is $2.47 million. This sits in the Tianaway Valley, just northeast of Clallam. And it's an incredible, accessible area for recreationists and so forth. The road, county road, goes right up through the property. We will be contributing $1.9 million towards the purchase from a U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Section 6 grant, as well as some funding from Department of Ecology for our portion of that total value. The property has water rights. Some of them have been placed into a long-term temporary trust with the Washington Water Trust, and the landowner has an option to sell those to that water trust. So we're not buying the water. We're not paying for the water. Long-term, we won't be needing the water. The county also will be stepping up and taking over some other seasonal irrigation water rights that were part of the property. We're purchasing the land and the timber and an exempt well that supports the highest and best use of the property. The property includes, as I mentioned, over half a mile of the Tianaway River, which supports the endangered, listed, steelhead, bull trout. I'm going to go back for just a moment to show you the slide here shows a large brown-colored ownership on both the north and south portions of this property. That's the tremendous 50,000-acre Tianaway Community Forest that was purchased by Department of Natural Resources in 2013, and we hold a conservation easement on that property. That's a unique kind of trust that was established by the legislature that allows for less revenue-driven activities. And so we're a partner with DNR to ensure that the forest health is maintained, there's recreational access, and the habitat absolutely is maintained. We have a number of partners that are helping work on this for recreation planning and so forth. So our acquisition of this little snippet of land is a great contribution to this part of the landscape. The next acquisition is the Westdale LLC property in southern Kittitas County. It's 1,565 acres of mostly high elevation forested property, again funded by a WWRP RCO grant. It's due west of Ellensburg, and the appraised value is $1.765 million. We've presented projects related to this, the Heart of the Cascades project. Over the last 7 or 8 years, we've worked very hard to gain support with our partners and get the federal and state funding to continue to block up the checkerboard ownership in this landscape of the Central Cascades. As you heard earlier today, the importance of corridors, this speaks exactly to that issue. The brown parcels checkerboarded were recently purchased by the Nature Conservancy to preserve and protect long-term. The lighter green is U.S. Forest Service property, and the dark green that you see is our own ownership. To the south, L.T. Murray, and to the north, the Tianaway Community Forest that we hold a CE on. The Westdale property is in the red, and that's, again, part of our larger project area. I'm going to work backwards here on these entries. We have a grant sitting in the legislature, a WWRP proposal for 2016 to continue the yellow acquisitions for the Heart of the Cascades. Currently, we have an open grant for 2014. There's 3,000 acres in progress, and we've got 1,565 that we're presenting today. In 2012 grant, we already acquired 4,800 acres and got rid of some of the checkerboard on that western edge of the L.T. Murray Wildlife Area. And back in 2010, we acquired 10,386 acres to get rid of some private ownership. The private ownership is a challenge for us because of the access and the road systems in the area. A lot of expectation from the public that this is public land, they deserve to get out there and do their recreation. However, the road systems are not very extensive. It's Forest Service roads and then spur roads off the Forest Service onto either a DNR or a Department of Fish and Wildlife property. We entered into a long-term agreement with Department of Natural Resources in the 80s. They're called the Green Dot Road System that you've probably been out there recreating on. It gets you across different public ownerships with no problem. When they encounter a private ownership, it's a different story. Some of the owners also participate in these green dot agreements, and some say, no thanks, I don't want you to be bringing your trash and dumping on my land and crossing my land. So this potentially was a problem with this landowner. They were to the point where they wanted to not continue their green dot agreement and not have public access across their property. So it was really important to work with them and eventually acquire this property. Again, the tremendous opportunities to continue the opportunities for public hunting and recreation, and the PILT payment to Kittitas County would be approximately $7,200 per year. The representation of the wildlife corridor speaks for itself. The yellow square in the upper left is the Manastash 7 property that we purchased, presented to you in November, purchased in December. And the top three yellow boxes there are the Westdale property we're proposing to purchase. Lots of hoof prints crossing that back and forth for the elk and deer migration. The fourth transaction that I have to present today is known as the Ashenfelter Bay Transfer. This is located just to the north across the county line into Ponderay, a little four-acre parcel that will be transferring to Ponderay County. It was originally purchased in 1970 with an RCO-funded grant for public recreation and water access. As you can see, it sits right outside the town of Newport on this little bay off of the Ponderay River. The county owns the parcel just to the southwest of it and would like to manage this property as well. Over the years since the 70s, we had not put money into developing the property because of a deed restriction when we purchased it. That deed restriction said no commercial enterprises on it, no firearms, and no overnight camping. So we didn't do a lot with the property. At one time, we tried to surplus it, but with those kinds of restrictions, we tried to do a land exchange, and it didn't work. So the county has stepped up and said, we'll accept those grant strings and the deed restriction, and we'd like to take over responsibility for the property. This also is a tremendous opportunity for it to be added to the Ponderay River Water Trail, which is a network of 70 miles on the river from Idaho up into nearly to BC, where folks in their watercraft can have a put-out spot or a put-in and enjoy that kind of recreational activity. So again, this is for the transfer to Ponderay County. All of these transactions take a tremendous amount of work over a long period of time. At this time, I'd like to commend our lands agent for Region 1, who is retiring the end of June. I don't believe he was able to make it today. Brian Trickle is retiring the end of June after over 36 years of service to the department. Many of the transactions we've put before you over the years in Region 1, including the 10,000-acre 4-0 Ranch acquisition in Asotin County, were due to the efforts of Brian. His relationship with landowners, persistence in keeping them at the table and being interested, as well as talking to other folks about the benefits of working with the Department of Fish and Wildlife for lands that meet our mission, has just made us a successful agency. So I'd like to commend Brian for his years of service. That completes my presentation. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Julie. Excellent as always. And thank you for the recognition of Brian. Questions from the commission? No, I guess you were crystal clear on that. We do have some public input. So there's two individuals, and I'll call you both up. Chris DeForest and Lindell Hagen, please. So take it away, Chris.
All right. Good morning. My name is Chris DeForest. I'm the Conservation Director for Inland Northwest Land Conservancy. We're the regional land trust in this area. We're the counterpart to the Capital Land Trust, Chelan Douglas Land Trust, Whatcom Land Trust, and Forterra for your local territories. We work in tandem with willing private landowners and with conservation partners like Ducks Unlimited, like the Town of Reardon, like Spokane Audubon Society in eastern Washington and northern Idaho. And I'm your willing seller here. So on the Reardon property. I should mention the T-shirt is in front of me from when we bought the original 280-acre property. That was from the dedication in 2006, property that we bought and sold to the department. We had our eyes on the Bisson Road property 12 years ago, but it wasn't for sale. We knew it had terrific wildlife habitat, that it would be a great addition to the Audubon Lake property, but again, it wasn't for sale, and we only work with willing sellers. Fast forward to 2013, the property had been platted for development, perk test dug, a road punched in, but the developer had walked away and the out-of-state landowner wanted to unload it. The realtor contacted the department, but the seller's timeline was a whole lot shorter than the department was prepared to respond, so we stepped in, we raised the money, and we bought the land as an interim caretaker until the department could receive state funding to purchase it from us. I like to think we've been good caretakers during our 2 years of ownership of the property, what we call the Deep Creek Preserve, because it is mainly the headwaters to Deep Creek, which comes into the Spokane River near Nine Mile Falls. We led monthly nature walks. We communicated with all of our neighbors. We sprayed for weeds. We paid our taxes. We led citizen scientists, including Gonzaga University students, to do an inventory of all the natural features of the property and called a bioassessment. There was mention of the cleanup, and I'm happy to report there have been no incursions since we did the cleanup. We put a berm up, and people have respected that, and we reseeded the disturbed area with native grasses. So we're handing it over to you in good shape. We're excited to see the property become part of the Reardon's Audubon Lake Wildlife Area. It makes sense to have the land in one ownership. We are committed to helping the department and the town of Reardon develop a management plan that makes it a real treasure for the community. So in short, my work is done. We'd love to have you as the new owner, and we commit to working with you.
Thank you, Chris. Any questions from the commission? No? Thank you, sir. And Ms. Hagan, please.
Well, I was around with the very first purchase of the property, and when we went out to take a look at it, I don't know if we didn't have a really good map or maybe we just got carried away, but we were on the north side of the lake and we looked at the lake and thought, yeah, this is really nice. It's been a tradition for people across the state to come to Reardon Audubon Lake to look for waterfowl and the shorebirds. But when we wandered further over to the east, we came across all these little potholes with trees around them, and it says there's a problem with the PowerPoint. Oh, well. If you want to send it to me, I'll share it with them. Okay. And we were really attracted to that land to the east. Well, as Chris pointed out, the lake came up for purchase. Audubon chapters throughout the state contributed money to help make that initial purchase before it was transferred to Department of Fish and Wildlife. Then, through a quirk of a variety of things, there was a chance we might be able to get a hold of a loan or a grant to purchase some additional property. I checked with someone at Fish and Wildlife, and they says, well, remember that property to the east. And so sure enough, it was available. They were more than happy to plan on selling it, but it turned out more than Spokane Audubon could deal with. So with our relationship with the Land Conservancy, we worked together with them. It is a wonderful piece of property. It's a marvelous complement to what is already there. You've got mostly grasslands around Audubon Lake. To the east, you've got the potholes and a richer variety of certainly songbirds and the waterfowl as well. I encourage you to purchase it. Not only do we have birds on it, we have a multitude of wildflowers and the insects and the pollinators, which are become more of an issue. We need to protect that land that the pollinators can thrive on to help us all live a better life. So thank you very much for considering this, and I really do appreciate this opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for your involvement, as well as you, Chris, and your leadership in this project. Any other thoughts from the commission? Yes.
Just a quick comment that we sure appreciate groups such as this, conservancy groups that find these opportunities and hold them until we're able to make that happen. It's a great relationship. I hope the public understands the work that you do that translates into the future of having habitat and wildlife for generations to come. And I really appreciate the relationships we have with your groups. Thank you.
Also quickly, I think it's pretty neat that we probably will be purchasing this, the Reardon Lakes property, with the kids here. And the reason is to follow up on Commissioner Thorburn's earlier statement, talking about Othello and the Sandhill Crane Festival down there, how much that has become a source of pride for the community. And now perhaps we can do our part to help take maybe what was a dump and turn it into a little jewel with some tourist activity. I'd like to ask you guys to maybe be helping with the management plan. Commissioner Smith told the governor that one of the things that we were going to be working on is reaching out to youth. And so I'm seeing sort of a full circle here that I really like. So thank you.
Okay. Any other? Hearing none, I think we're ready for a motion.
So, whoops. I move to approve the acceptance of these items as of proposed land transactions as presented.
Motion's been made. Do we have a second? Second's been made. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Same. You didn't let me finish. Opposed? Same sign. There was a right. Opposed. Right. Okay. Okay. Motion carries. Thank you all, and we look forward to. I look forward to visiting. And for the students, this is the process. You see it work. I mean, you see how it's not just something in a book. It actually, the commitment's been made, the property's been acquired, and hopefully your grandchildren will enjoy it. But go through school before you start thinking any of that stuff. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Moving on.
I got to see a lot of it growing up. And an easy explanation for that is my backyard was Glacier National Park. Well, we got a little bit of a slice of nature right in Reardon with Audubon Lake, which is managed by the Department of Fish and Wildlife. We got a chance to add on to that with the additional 150 acres to the east of it. That's going to give Reardon a lot to look at. Now, how it's managed, we sat down yesterday and had a talk. And it's one of those things where they're asking us in Reardon to come up with ideas on what should be done with this extra 150 acres as well as the Audubon Lake Wildlife Refuge area. Well, we can make our suggestions, but I'm sure that the Department of Fish and Wildlife over the time has got their rules and regulations on do's and don'ts. So it's one of those things where we're going to sit down with them, and our confidence is extremely high that the Department of Fish and Wildlife will purchase this land. And this land then will be developed for viewing purposes. How? I have no idea. That's going to be between the rules and regulations that you have to follow, which are tried and true, so the land is not hurt in any fashion. It's going to be a great addition to the area because we have Highway 2 going right through Reardon. It's going to give a lot of people that go through our area the experience of getting into a wildlife area and not having to go very far to get there. So if it's developed and maintained properly, it's going to be a great asset for the whole area. And again, in growing up with nature like I have, I appreciate what everybody has been trying to do with the Audubon Lake when it first started and what it is today and the addition of the 150 acres. It's going to be just a great thing for Reardon and the local area, and for anybody that's passing through our area from other states. They have quite a few species of birds that are at Audubon Lake even one, that's never been seen anywhere else in the United States except Reardon. So you go along the highway in Reardon on 231 north out of Reardon, and you see these cars parked there all the time. You see them parked at the two viewing areas that are there on both sides of the lake. And these people are out there. I mean, they got their cameras going a million miles a minute. And to get up there and walk through these areas to get to these viewing areas, they did an excellent job of putting the whole thing together. Now we have that chance, with your approval, to buy that extra 150 acres to add on to it. Give people a lot more to look at in Reardon. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. And that coming up with a list of ideas of how it can be best utilized, I think that would be another challenging opportunity for the class to do, or a subsequent class, because those opportunities are future opportunities, and you are the future.
Well, in Reardon, we have not, and that was talked about yesterday, and we had the Fish and Wildlife and the Inland Northwest Land Conservancy in Reardon, and we talked about a few things, and it was to get the Lions Club, the churches, the school, all the community members who want to get involved. Being a close-knit community like Reardon is, it's easy to get people to come out and give their views. You might have to prod them a little bit, but then they come out and they not only volunteer their time, but their ideas as well. And that's what we want to start with, is all the clubs, churches, everybody, get them all involved. And these fine young students, they're going to be going on, but we got other students coming up through the years. They'll all have their ideas, too. So, yes, we like to get people involved.
Thank you, Mayor. You touched on some of the history. I'll add a little bit more from my perspective. He mentioned Highway 231. It's a fairly busy highway during harvest season. It's full of combines. And that's one of the really good bird viewing opportunities, because this pond is a migratory stopover for a multitude of wild waterfowl and shorebirds. Before the wildlife area existed, the birding opportunity was on Highway 231. Reardon has an event in the spring. It's in May, Mule Days. And some of us go out to Mule Days and work booths, sort of promoting this area. And I remember I was at the booth, and one of the local farmers came up to me and said, "We are so glad that you guys have moved off of 231. I was sure I was going to knock somebody into the pond with my combine as I was driving into town." So, and I remember being pretty nervous about that, trying to get those million mile a minute shots of the great birds. I have worked with Spokane Audubon, who's another partner on this, and we look forward to opportunities, maybe building into Mule Days. We've seen another rural town in the area, Othello, have a very successful festival around birding, and I think there's opportunity for Reardon that we all would like to see. It's economic opportunity, Mule Days may be something that we can build on. So we look forward to working with you on this.
Well, thank you very much. But you are right. Highway 231 is busy, and when I have the opportunity and I see birders out there, yeah, I stop and tell them, "Do you know where the viewing areas are at?"
Yeah.
And I didn't see the sign. I wish we could put up some bigger signs, but sometimes the DOT won't let us do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree that those viewing areas are well used. They were slow at first. People have to learn where they're at.
So the bird that's only found there, what, between?
Well, the story, I'm not sure. I'd have to go back through the records. But this area has been known by the local birders for a long time, especially for shorebird migration, and has attracted in a number of vagrants.
The most recent one is the white-rumped sandpiper. About 4 years ago was spotted. This is an eastern bird in decline, very, very rarely seen on the West Coast. But I would imagine, and I'll have to call my birding friend who's very knowledgeable about this, that it was probably a Eurasian shorebird that showed up only and has only ever been reported at Reardon. But I'd have to check the records on that. So, but yeah, it's cool. It is a fabulous place for birders and other wildlife watchers, as we'll hear about.
Yes. I'm just thankful to know there's another reason to slow down going through Reardon other than that policeman that sits on the south side of the road. So, thank you.
You know, back when Christine Gregoire was governor, we have what we call the Northeast Mayors Conference, where we get anywhere from 10 to 20 mayors to sit down at any given time. And I sat down with this young gentleman who was next to me, and he leaned over and says, you know, your chief's aggressive ticket writing style is known to the governors, all the way to the governor's office. You know what I said? I just leaned over and said, thank you.
And have you contributed to that fund? He's an honorary citizen.
Over 10 years.
There was a deal a while back in the Huckleberry Press, and it turned out to be an ordeal where somebody received a ticket from Chief Redmond, and it was he, you know, didn't have tabs on his car, and he was just mad at everybody in the world, including NAFTA, for him getting a ticket, except for he never realized that it was his fault. And the speeders are the same way. Now, hey, I have a lead foot, and I've gotten many tickets in my lifetime. But I have the one thing that I did a long time ago is I found out that I better be mad at the right person, and that was me, period. I mean, you go through any, you know, do you see these other people giving you problems with where they got a ticket in another town? No. And as far as Reardon being a speed trap, no, Gary says right on the highway, full view. So, but it's one of those things where a lot of people said, you know, look at the traffic, look at our kids crossing the highway 2 and 231. Yeah, they were very grateful that he's out there doing exactly what he's doing. Again, thank you very much to the committee. Do you have any other?
Well, I just want to make one other point about Reardon Audubon Lake. It not only is wildlife interesting, it is also geologically interesting. It is the headwaters of two major drainages in eastern Washington. It's the headwaters of Crab Creek, which is the longest stream flowing into the Columbia, and the headwaters of Deep Creek, which flows into the Spokane, a little upriver here, quite an amazing geologic feature and important to our water in eastern Washington.
We had on the table yesterday an aerial photo from a drone that Chris DeForest from the Land Conservancy showed us. It happened last October of last year. And it showed all the water around to include the Audubon Lake and the addition of the 150 acres. If you were to go out there today with all this water, I don't think you're going to see too much land out there. But it has a high water table, but it's simply just a beautiful area to keep preserved. And I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be able to get out there and enjoy it.
Great. Well, thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
You should be proud of your town and your students of your town. So, thank you.
I am.